But I appreciate the choir. It's as if they saw into my message tonight. And they just said it might not be easy, but I keep running to you. In the morning, if you still remember, we started to study the price that Josiah had to pay to have the word of God come to pass in his life. Everything God wanted him to do had been prophesied before he was born. He stumbled upon the prophecies and he made himself available for the fulfillment. And I said in the morning that in between thus saith the Lord, and it comes to pass, are the roles God expects you to play. We do not sit down and think everything God has said about us will happen without making ourselves available to fulfill the conditions that are attached to them. And I said, for the word of God to come true in the life of a man, a city, or a particular family, man must have to play his or her roles. There are roles for the divinity and roles for the humanity. And we started to study, what steps did Josiah take after God had graciously put him on the throne of his father? What step did he take? And in the morning, we saw the first thing he did in verse 2 of 2 Chronicles chapter 4. And we will, by the grace of God, continue from where we stopped in the morning. Let us bow our heads and pray together. Father, thank you because you have brought us together again in worship. Thank you because you have a purpose for this meeting. Thank you, Lord, because you desire that there shall be a revival in our hearts and in our lives. Father, thank you because you have started it. Thank you for the lives that discovered that there has been a gap between them and their God in the morning, and they pleaded for grace and mercy and actually repented and promised to bridge the gap. Father, we ask, O God, that the grace that will help us to walk closely with you so we can stand faultless before you and we can stand courageous before the host of darkness, we receive that grace in the name of Jesus Christ. We desire that everything you've said about us will come to pass. For the Bible says about David in Acts of Apostles chapter 13 verse 36, he said, David, after he has fulfilled the purpose of God for his generation, he fell asleep. Lord, we're asking that the heavens will be able to write the same record about us. That we did not just come to the world to marry heat and catch some fun. That we lived to fulfill your purposes in the name of Jesus Christ. And this evening, Lord, as we take a step further, we ask, O God, that you grant us revelation from your word. Give us hearts that are receptive. Make your word very plain and very clear to us. And in the end, grant us opportunity to respond positively. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's say amen. Amen. From verse 2 in the morning, we saw that the first thing Josiah did was that he built a relationship with God. He understood the factor of God in his race in life. Each time I'm writing grace, I want to define grace. At times, I write G, I put das, and I write race. Now, it looks to me that grace means God's factor in the race of men. When a man is able to understand and acknowledge that without God, I am but nothing, then that is the beginning of getting it right. And that is where God started with us, to build a formidable relationship with Jesus by surrendering our lives to Jesus and not stopping there, taking steps further. To learn from the word of God, make the word of God our daily meal, to seek the face of God in prayers daily, and to be involved in the work of God. That is what we are living for. Every other thing we achieve on earth, what the highest degrees in the world, the highest degree in the world has no eternal value. It does not. The greatest and the most lucrative job on earth has no eternal value. It is a platform. And when you serve God through the platform, that is when you are serving the interest of God. Money, the money you earn as salaries come to your family. What God wants to get from that opportunity is that you use it as a privilege to touch lives for God. Then use it. It is good for us to be committed in the church, but in the marketplaces, in our fields, in our areas of work, some of us as medical doctors, medical health workers, some of us as barristers, some of us as teachers, some of us as artisans, in those places that you occupy for Jesus. All right? Everyone has a pulpit in your offices. Use the privilege of your work, of your study, to advance the cause of the gospel. When we were in the secondary school, several of you will bear me witness that most of us that gave our lives to Jesus in the secondary school were preached to by our teachers. Schools did not, at least our private, our public schools then, didn't have chaplain. We didn't have a chaplain. There was no pastor over our head in the school. But we had teachers who took their work in one hand and the work of God in another hand. They used the platform of their teaching profession to start talking to us about Jesus, about our souls. And several of us today that were converted or discipled still owe so much to them, because they were not just after the pecuniary benefits, the financial and fringe benefits of their works. They were concerned about what record will God keep about this work. As a medical person, the number of people that passes through your consulting table, that pass through your consulting table, some pastors don't have them as members. So it is an opportunity. What I am saying, I'm just wrapping it up. Let the thought about the things of God be predominant in your heart. Even in your offices, in your homes, you teach your children about God and you show it. You're ministering to them, and when you get to your offices, look for opportunity to be a blessing in the marketplace. It is important. That is when God is glorified in your works. Alright, God is not a God we condition to the four walls of the church. You come to church to learn. The Bible says you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. He didn't say you are the salt of the church or the light of the church, but of the world. You come to the church to receive fire. You go out there to blaze it, for people to see it. I want to pray for someone that the Spirit of God we expand this in our heart beyond what I can say, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Say amen. This is important to me. This is the foundation. It is the bedrock of whatever a man is going to become for God and in God and in the world. There is nothing we have that will not live one day. What determines the eternal value of a man is his personal relationship with Jesus. Take it and let it reflect in you every day. Praise the Lord. Josiah didn't stop at that. You know, he didn't stop at that. And we can say, like, let me strike this. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father. And David was not his direct father. He was just in the lineage of David. His father was Ammon. Ammon didn't seek God. His grandfather was Manasseh. Manasseh failed God. Although towards the end of his life, he repented. So as youth and as children, we don't have excuses. You know, my parents weren't born again, this and that. No. It is important. This man didn't have a father that showed him the way of God. He didn't have it. But he connected with God himself. God is a God of individual. He's a God of individual. And each one of us must seek to have a personal relationship with God Almighty. What was the second thing he did that helped him fulfill the word that was prophesied about him? I am still in verse 2. He walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. That is what I want to talk about today. He was consistently focused. He was consistent and well focused. The Bible says He discovered that which was right, and he stood by it. Verse number 2. He did not decline, neither to the right, nor to the left. He was focused in the right thing he was doing, in the right thing he was raised to do. Now, church, please let me talk to you today. I may not know everyone, but I know some people that are not likely to fulfill God's plan for their lives. People who are inconsistent and very, very gullible. Everything, even in the ordinary business of life, consistency is important. You don't throw away a business today because there is a crisis in the business. Some of us are never known to be stable. We do not recognize the power of continuity and consistency. In relationship, each time you have a bickering in your relationship, maybe with a friend, with someone, the first thing you do is to delete the number of such fellows. My guy, you are not a consistent person. The person that hurt you today may help you tomorrow. The one that harm you today may help you tomorrow. Even in marital relationship, some of us trivialize a critical relationship. Marital relationship. Oh, it's like this, I'm no longer interested. She's like this, I'm no longer interested. You think that you can receive such an anointing that will make everything work well for you all the time. Talofijo. In life, there are crises, there are challenges. Even in ministry, we understand there are challenges. If I have to give up on every ministerial labor because there are challenges and I'm looking for a path of no resistance, easy access, smooth path. Jesus never promised anybody a smooth path. He promised a narrow path. Your path will be rough at times and will be smooth at times. That is the music of life. Do re mi fa sol la ti do. At times it will descend. Do ti la so fa mi re do. That is life. But you give up too soon on anything. Even in a common, ordinary business of buying and selling, people like that cannot make tremendous impact. Because they have a culture of inconsistency. Whoever told you that because God is involved in your business and your relationship, there won't be crisis? Who told you that? Who bewitched you to believe that? In Mark Gospel chapter 4 from verse 35, Jesus initiated a journey. He told the disciples, he said, let us go to the other side. It was not, the move didn't begin with Peter, as outspoken as it was. It was not from John. It was not from Bartimaeus. It was from Jesus. But you see, midway into the trip, what happened to them? There was a storm on the sea. And the voyage was threatened. The sea was so turbulent that if it was someone like you, you would say, oh, God didn't approve of this journey. Because someone has told you, everything God approves of has to be smooth all the time. Whoever preached that to you has done a lot of havoc to your mentality. Has brainwashed you and indoctrinated you. Life isn't like that. At all. We must recognize it. Jesus didn't cancel the journey. He only rose. He rebuked the wind and they continued. And thank God they continued. Some of the greatest and the massive miracles of Jesus were recorded on the other side. It was at the other side that that madman of Gadarene, from whose life Jesus cast out six thousand demons. A legion. It was at the other side that Jesus Christ met a woman with the issue of blood. A woman that menstruated for 12 years. What could have become the destinies of those guys if Jesus had aborted the mission? You give up too soon about life. You give up too soon. And that is not a good way to become whatever God wants you to become. God told you, this young man, Joseph, when he was the story, but God didn't tell him about Potiphar's wife. God didn't tell him about prison. You see, to a child of God, to a consistent child of God, what you call problems are processes. What did I call them? They're processes. You will be shaken. The essence of shaking is for you to come up. It's for some potentials in you to come up. If you get some, take a tin of liquid milk. Just get a nail, pass it, shake it. What happens to the cream? It comes up. The essence, when a child of God is shaking, it that has some potentials that will come up in your life. When I was shaking massively from my head to my feet, and it was like I was going to end it all. That was when I knew the power of praying. Without anybody leading me to pray. Without anybody jingling the bell for me. Without setting any alarm. Who says you can't wake up to pray in the night? It's because of not seeing what is bothering you. I always tell people, me, I don't like all this fasting, all this Fiji, all on Ororo to bear. But nobody taught me. Nobody showed me a place where I could pray personally. The challenges I faced that time brought out some potentials in me, and up to today, there are parts of me. Not every problem is meant to stagnate or destroy you. Some are meant to bring out some potentials in you. But my friend, when you come across a man who gives up too soon, when there is a crisis, when there are challenges, you give up. Oh, God is not involved in this. I'm going to start another business. This one I started, this will be the second time I ran into loss. I'm not going to continue in this. My friend, failure does not mean anything. Nothing has been achieved. Failure does not mean that God is involved. God is not involved in what you're doing. It only means that you should review your strategies and do it more intelligently. In life, there are things that will want us to move away from the right path. But if you're consistent, all right, there is power in being consistent. In your walk with God, challenges will show up. Very serious challenges will show up. But if you keep your gaze on Jesus and on where you are going, if you don't give up, one day you will get there. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you look at Genesis chapter 26, we learn also again, we have another example from the life of Isaac. Isaac inherited a well that was once dug by his father Abraham, and the elders came, the people in the community came, they chased him away when he had succeeded. He left that place, but he didn't stop the business of well digging. He didn't change business. He said, look, we'll continue. He got another one. They strove with him. Left it. He started another one. They strove with him. He said, well, I call the name of this place Esek. After that, he got another place. They drove him away again. He said, I call the name of this one Sidna. Look, he was only changing names. He didn't change vision. He was changing location. He didn't stop what he was doing. Until he got to a place, Rehoboth, and they strove not with him again. And he said, here, God has given us room. God promised to give him room. But he had to endure hostility. He had to endure challenges. What challenges are you going through, my brothers and my sisters? And there have been calls and invitations and temptations to move away from the path of God, or to give up on what you're doing. I put it to you today that if you give up too soon, you are not a consistent person. The only thing that can make me abandon a project is when God says, son, move. But challenges will not force me to abandon whatever. Because I know that businesses and ventures that will be profitable in life is they are bound to be confronted. The devil want to resist you, there will be a lot of things. My brother who led us in prayer, he emphasized something in his prayer. I was looking at him, was talking about our season of favor, was talking about season. I like the word. One of the reasons people give up easily is because they lack proper knowledge about the seasons of life. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis 8 verses 20. Genesis chapter 8. Let's see if we can read a couple of verses, maybe from verse 21. Genesis 8. By the time you understand this, honestly and sincerely, you won't fret too much again. Now, alright, let me read from verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, look again, the Lord said. Look at it again, the Lord said. The Lord said in his heart, I will not again cast the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. Yes, go to the next verse. Verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time. Everybody say seed time. Say it again. One more time. And harvest. And cold. And eat. And summer, and winter, and day, and night shall not cease. In the context, just leave it there, leave it there, leave it in verse 22. In our geographical context in Nigeria, we don't practically have the summer and the winter. Am I right? But you see, we have popular seasons, we have the seed time, the harvest, okay, yes. Now, we have the cold and the heat, yes. We have the day, we have the night. Now, if we understand properly that the season of life is cyclical, we won't give up often. In life, we have seed time. Nobody likes it. But there can't be harvest time without a seed time. I am a son of a farmer. Each time it was seed time in the village, there were no best of food. Because the yams we were meant to pound or eat, our father would say, don't go near it. It is no longer yam. It is ebu. I don't know the English of ebu. You have to Google that. Say, don't eat it. Each time we're saying, Daddy, we cannot continue to drink pap all the time. We cannot continue to do it. He says, shh. He said, but Daddy, that is yam. He said, in your kinship, yam. That is Abel. If a man cannot differentiate seed from fruit, he will live the rest of his year in hunger. During seed time, things are not smooth. When you are going through your seed time and you are giving up, you know the problem? When you are in your seed time, let me assume now that I'm in my seed time. Reverend Olabi is in his harvest time. And we are friends. It is senseless for me to continue to commit to compare myself with Reverend Olabi. But God, see the car he's using. Why am I still trekking? After all, we are friends. After all, we are both born again. That is the problem some of us have. You do not know that seasons of life are not uniform even for a set of twins. It is not. For children of the same womb, seasons of life are not the same. So if you are in your seed time and you're working or living with someone who is in his harvest time, you need a lot of patience. He has paid his dues. Stop comparing yourself with everyone. He is my age mate. Forget about age. That is just a figure play. What matters is that when you are in your seed time, you must learn to endure hardship. There is nothing anybody can do about that. Many times,
My wife and I had nothing to eat, yet she was pregnant. Because the times, even to pay house rent was difficult. And many, many, many more. Because we were still sowing our seed that time. For us to now start complaining, Lord, look at us now. I will now begin to compare myself with some other friends who are possibly in their own affairs season. That doesn't make sense. What season of life are you? When you find yourself in your affairs season, you need a lot of patience. Stop comparing yourself. Because right in the same house, someone may be in his affairs season, another person in his seed time. Keep focused on what you're doing. Alright? Psalm 126 even tells us, most of the people during our season of seed, it is time to shed tears. Only any to feel another Bible says, people hardly smile when they are planting. So if you are in that season of life, you must recognize, stay, wait, because harvest will come. Amen. So we have season, seed time, we have harvest time. Everybody looks up to our first time. Everybody looks up to it. And we have, what other time? Oh, my brother has carried it away. Verse 22 of that same book, of that same Genesis chapter 8. Now, it talks about the seed time, the harvest time, what other time? It talks about the cold season. Eh? Seed time, harvest time, the cold and the heat. Alright. Most of the times during cold season, things are dry. Very dry. At times during heat. You see, one thing I want to do. For me, the characteristics of my of the season I find myself might be different from what my brother is going through. But you must get to know that in life there are seasons. Bible even says time to laugh and time to cry. There is nothing we can do about that. But God rewards people who are consistently consistent. People who keep their eyes on their focus. People who don't give up their dreams because they're going through challenges. People who don't continue to live do try and error. If this is not working, another one will work. If this is not, without seeking the face of God about what you are doing. Some of us, you know, one of the greatest errors in life is for a man to be traveling on a wrong direction and is increasing speed. It's an error. Some of us are spending time and sweat on businesses where the seed of your prosperity is not. You need to pray and seek the face of God. And when you are in the right business, challenges will come. You have to learn to stay put. During challenges, whatever happens. Night time, everybody says, oh, night time. Night time, nobody notices you. It's a time to dream your dreams. It's a time of dreaming. For Jacob in Genesis 28, he dreamt. And the Bible says in Job chapter 14, Job 33 verses 14 to 18, in the night time, yes, you dream. It's a dreaming time. Nobody takes notice of you. Nobody knows what you are doing. They just see you go up and then they say, what is it up to? You're still working on yourself. Times like that may be hard. It is not all the problems of the world that are caused by Satan. Some are meant to bring out the best in you. In Luke chapter 5, verse number 5, the disciples labored throughout the night and they caught nothing. That's another characteristic of night time. A time when you have nothing to show. Because you're still dreaming. Because you're still planning. Because you're still laboring. But your day, everybody takes notice of you when it is your day. Some people, God have given them their day. People took notice of them. But there is no day without a night. No day without a night. So I don't know what season of life you are going through. One serious thing about season of time is that they have no respect for status or anointing. They don't have. I
As a pastor, you have your season. As a member, you have your season. And when you are going through it, you have to be focused. Keep your eyes on God's plan for your life. Not to the right, not to the left. Some people, when challenges come like that, that is when they'll be jumping from one herbalist to another fake prophet, looking for solutions from confused people. You understand? Looking for freedom from people in bondage. What do they have to offer? Keep your gaze on Jesus. For Josiah, the Bible said he was steadfast. He didn't turn to the right, nor to the left. Now, because the third thing I would have mentioned about him is about serious spiritual warfare, and will lead us to some prayer ministration. I won't go there tonight. Because once I mention the third, we will get involved in serious practical praying. And I hope and pray that the Lord will give you the privilege to be part of this service tomorrow in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Then we will get there. But let me take a pause on this today. Don't forget God's factor. Number two, be focused and be consistent and be focused. Challenges will come. Even if you are doing it right, even if you are walking in holiness, even if you have not committed any sin for the past several months, whatever you are doing, challenges will come. Don't throw away those things. Don't abandon that relationship. Don't abandon that business because of challenges. Let me give you a practical example. There is a woman. The woman is still alive in our hometown. I helped our daughters, some of our children, with the little grace God gave me. And the woman, I didn't know what happened. I was very close with some of her children, and we were all young. The woman thought that I was going out with one of her daughters. And I discovered that she became very, very close, and you see, she was going to check on me every time I traveled. She was so serious, so caring. And you know, so I thought it was just normal, you know, as believers. But you see, when it came, a friend of mine went to propose to that sister, and I invited the sister that my friend said he's come to propose to you. I'll be praying up on his proposal. Please pray about it. He's a good man, if God is saying yes. And the mother came to me furiously and said, "How do you mean? Don't tell me you don't marry some person." I said, "Mama, it never crossed my mind one night at all, not even a slip of thought." He said, "You don't mean it." And that was where I entered into trouble. And the woman was going to stop at nothing to cause trouble, you know, in the ministry and all of that. But you see, they got married. I didn't know the woman still kept that hostility. Each time she was referring to it, she was referring to it, she was referring to it. I said, "But your daughter married my friend. A friend of 18 years, that my friend and I slept on the same bed for 18 unbroken years. 18 years. I said, "So, it's like getting married to me." But you see, you never can appease people like that. And the woman did something very terrible. Very, very terrible. But you see, God didn't allow evil counsel to prevail. I pray for someone. God will frustrate every counsel of the enemy against your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. My family came up, and my family started saying, "No, no, they were going to take it up legally, what she did," and the rest of them as a liver. There are times good people do bad things. I said, as far as I'm concerned, she was overtaken by her emotions, and she couldn't separate emotions from reality. So please, let's spare her and we'll let her go. But nobody in my family wanted her to come near our house anymore, because what she did could have claimed my life. But God burst everything. Much time later, I needed a facility in our town for one of our businesses, and we did everything we could to get the building. Let me warn you today, please, learn to forgive. Don't make a permanent enemy out of anyone. Nobody is completely useless. That's the truth. Except the Lord says to you, move away.
Don't always abandon people because they make problems, they make mistakes. Don't abandon people because they're in problems. Some people, they only like to associate with people that are making it. Once they have a problem, they drop them and they walk away. People like that are not consistent. So I made sure I was in touch with the woman when she had some crisis. You know, we'll pray with her, we'll visit with her. We're going to give her whatever small we could afford. And when I got to that building, so many of us were in that building and we were just praising and praising and praising. And I said, but isn't there someone that is close to this family? They said because I was a pastor, they were not going to give us that building. And someone mentioned the name of that lady, woman. I said, you mean that woman? Some people don't have money, but they have their own influence. Their way of doing things. Don't look down on anybody. It is dangerous. If Naaman had been cruel to that girl in his house, Naaman could have died a leper. And it was not God's plan for him to die a leper. There are places for character in life. There are places for charisma. Some of you, charismatically, you are good. You can pray, you can speak in tongues. But in the place of character, you are zero. People don't want to have anything to do with you. They prefer to associate with a non-witch. Because you don't forgive when people hurt you. And when you claim to have forgiven, my friend, you become so caustic and wicked. You shouldn't continue like that if you're a child of God. Work upon yourself. In this world, you need people. Let somebody say people. Yeah, we get there before we close this week. You see the power, the place of people in the fulfillment of God's plan for your life. All right. I spoke with the woman on the phone. I said, Mrs. So-and-so, please, are you in the house? I need to come and see you now. He says, come to my house to see me. He said, no. Where are you? I said, I'm so-and-so, please, say, I'll be there right away. And she came. She was worried. She thought, you know, another thing. I said, madam, I need your help. He said, you can need a help of a poor person like me. I said, money does not answer every, does not solve every problem. I had gone to them. I promised I was going to pay this much over and above what every other person was willing to pay. They said, no way. I said, woman, this building, I need it. He said, when? I said, as soon as possible. He said, all right. What do you want to do with it? I told her, do you have money to pay? I said, yes, but I've tried. He said, forget about that. Just get the money ready. Tomorrow you'll be paying. I looked at her. I told my wife, I said, look at this woman. This woman looks like a comedian. We have been on this thing for almost 3 months and someone appears to say, look, local government chairman had intervened. It never worked. They said, no. I said, but people said it is closed. And she went there and said, I have spoken to the head of the family. I said, but I thought that man was there. He said, no. The head is not at home. The head is in Soso town. He said, the moment I spoke with the head, he communicated everybody at home that, and if the friend of my daughter wants to use that building for a pastor, please let them pay. And that was all. One phone call from that woman rubbished my 3 months waka 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 around. Look. When Jesus woke up, when Jesus Christ rose up, if you were Jesus, you would not want to have anything to do with Peter. A man whose mother-in-law was sick and Jesus waka go there. Heal the woman. A man, Jesus single-handedly prayed for. He said, Satan wants to save you, but I've prayed for you. A man, Jesus prophesied, thou art Peter. And upon this revelation from your mouth, I built my church. A man that was so close to Jesus, that was with Jesus almost everywhere. Now, in the face of challenge, he said, Timba Marikoma Dafun. Because the Bible said he was cursing himself. And Jesus was looking. And when Jesus arose, he didn't refer to that matter one day. Did he? He didn't even say, Peter, but because Peter repented, the master never went back there. He never reopened that matter. He didn't change the plan the master had for Peter. He wanted him the leader of the apostle. He still made him the leader of the apostle. He didn't say, I would have made you the leader, but for what you did 3 days ago. That's not how God forgives. When God forgives, he restores. And he doesn't revert to it.
ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I have spoken on being consistent on relationship issues and on whatever you are doing. In your walk with God, you'll be tried, you'll be tempted, you'll be confronted. But keep your focus. One day, it will end in joy in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet, let's pray together. Don't give up that assignment because it is not yielding fruit for now. Don't give it up. Please don't give it up. Very soon, you start sharing testimonies. Don't give it up. It is dry today. It's going through its season. Don't give it up. Believers need to learn the power of focus and consistency. I read something from a book, one of the latest books of American President Donald Trump, The Midas Touch. He co-authored it with Kiyosaki, that man who wrote Poor Dad, Rich Dad. And Donald Trump defined focus chronologically. He said, focus means follow one course until successful. F-O-C-U-S. Follow one course until successful. Focused people don't give up something until they succeed in it. Except God says, live here. Elijah knew that water was no longer in the brook. He still sat down. Until God said, Elijah, live here. This place is dry. I will now tell you to go to a widow of Zarephath. They took instruction from God and they followed it. Challenges will shake us. Challenges will really trouble us at times, but keep focused. If you ask the man of God to talk to you about the seasons he had gone to in ministry, some of his friends and colleagues will be praying now, oh God, you are the one who called Reverend Owolabi. You called me to see what you are doing in his life. See what you are doing in my life. That's a very wrong way to pray. Pray with the promise of God. Stop comparing yourself. You never know what season he's been through. And you never know what season you are. It is important. That is why it is ridiculous. In ministry, I don't compare. I don't compete. God called me into a commission, not into a competition. I don't compete. I stay focused. When I had problem with my business, the business was growing. I decided to say, to make this business expand, I needed a car. And I bought that car September 18, year 2002. That time, plate numbers were scarce in our town. You were going to pay after 2-3 months, the plate number could come. So there was no plate number. I already paid, expecting the plate number to come. So there was one old plate number on the car. And within the space of time when I used the car, it really, really helped the business I was doing. And also helped the ministry, going from one place to another and all of that. Especially villages. All right. But you see, we just finished a program. In that program, they told us to sow a seed. I also planted a seed. They told us to do this and do that. And exactly 20 days. Is it 20 or 22 days? After that, after I bought the car, I was to travel for a program in Warri. So I filled the car. I didn't know that car snatchers, robbers were trailing me. It was in the night. So I parked it in front of a barber shop. I was doing my haircut. As I got out of the place, entered into the car, gunshot, bah, 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 bah. And you see, they made away with the car. There was no way we could trace it. No number, no nothing. It went. I said, oh God. And you see, people will see all manner of things. But praise God. And you see, I said, God, this thing is a serious matter. No, I still need to settle this and that over this car. Lord, you can bring it back. But you see, that one went away. 2 weeks after that,
You know, I was supplying and selling computers. You know, computers were just arriving in our town massively at that time. So I was involved in the business. I come to Lagos in Computer Village. I was going to buy computer, supply, and the rest of them. And the shop got it. Went up in flames. You know, there were some sparks here and there in the night, and everything got. 2 weeks after, the car was smashed. I said, God, what is happening to me? Have I committed any sin? Expose me if I've committed any sin secretly, Jesus. Why is this happening to me? And you see, people told me, don't you know the business you are doing? Some other people are involved in the business, and you started outshining there. I said, if that is the case, I've just started. If I must quit a business, it's not witches. They are too small. If I must quit a particular thing, it's not enemy. It will be the voice of God that will say, my son, move. We'll get there tomorrow. But I want to say something. I said, okay, we got in another business. God said, this is the business what I wanted. We got in there. Pew! We invested a lot of money. There was a rainstorm. Middle of the night, everything went down the drain. Bam! I said, wow, second time. We re-strategize. These people said, you should have done this. We did it. The fourth time, there was another similar thing. I said, Father! That was when I knew how to pray, even if I was in the toilet. Began to pray, and God began to show up. Those people who had said all manner of nasty things, right now, they don't even know what to say again. The same people who said, Ogunburuku ninja eleyo, are the set of people that are saying, Iye soju lasan ogun ni nlo, so nikan ni sise re ni. Jota adua re ba gba, si won fi ni ogun lo nlo, adua sese ngba bo ni. What I'm saying to you tonight is this. When you are going through challenges, Jesus, God said, when you're going through fire, I'll be with you. When you're going through water, Isaiah 43, I will be with you. And the word there is going through. Everybody say going through. God did not say you are going to be resident in that problem. You only go through. Are you going through any trouble in your marriage, in your relationship, in your business, in your work with God, in whatever you are doing, and you are I bring the word of God to you. After tonight, beginning from tonight, there shall be a turnaround for you. Lift up two hands up. I said there shall be a turnaround for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, there shall be a massive turnaround. Somebody's not saying amen. There shall be a massive turnaround. In the mighty name of Jesus, there shall be a massive turnaround. In the name of Jesus. 3 prayer points, then I will release you. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 26. Everyone, 1 Samuel 25, 26. Just 3 prayer points we're going to declare prophetically. We're going to declare, and as we declare, they begin to happen in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel 26, verse 25. Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Prayer number 1. Somebody say, God, bless me. I cannot hear you. Say, God, bless me. One more time. Say, Father, bless me with long life, good health, good job, prosperity, honor, good home. Bless me with everything that will make my life happy. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you desire it, say amen. One more time, repeat after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, please bless me with long life, good health, good home, good job, prosperity, and everything that I need that will make me happy. Everything that will make me. Now prophesy like that, pray like that in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless me. Long life is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Good health is a gift from God. Father, bless me. Bless me with a great business. Bless me with a great job. Bless me, O God, with the abundance of the earth, with the prosperity of the heart. Father, bless me. Bless me, Lord, with the prosperity of the heart. Bless me. Bless me, Lord. Bless me with increase. Bless me with greatness. Bless me with honor. In the name of Jesus. Bless me with grace to be consistent and to be focused. In the name of Jesus. Bless me with grace to be focused. It doesn't matter the challenges I go through in life. Lord, bless me. I won't quit because of challenges. I can only quit if you ask me to quit. Father, please bless me with grace to be consistent. In the name of Jesus, grace to be consistent. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Shall thou shalt both do great things. Let somebody say, I shall do great things. It's a prophecy. You see, over your own life, you are the first major prophet. Whatever you say, you get. According to the word of the Lord. And let it come from the heart. Bible says, from the abundance of the earth, the mouth speaketh. So speak it from the heart. I shall do great things. In the name of Jesus. Whatever is called great things, you understand. God understands. Great things. Things people don't believe someone like you can do. They know the certificates in your hand. They know you don't know people. They know you're not popular. They know your background. They know your past. So they've written you up like Jephthah, that there's nothing good that can come out of you. They said to Jephthah, move away from us, you vagabond. You don't belong in here. That time, Jephthah was a needy. But after some time, they went back to him when he was needed. Needies today will be needed tomorrow. They said, we came to you because we have a need of you. Please pray. Put your hand on your chest and pray. Say, Father, give me grace to do great things. Give me grace for great things. Anointing for great things. Now pray for like that in the name of Jesus. Anointing to do great things. Unusual things. Things people never believe someone like me can do. Lord, give me grace to doing it. In the name of Jesus. What others ahead struggle to do but they couldn't do. Lord, give me grace to do it. Something beyond my human capacity that you, God alone, can do in the life of a man. Give me grace to do it. Someone pray, give me grace to do it. Give me grace to do it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, give me grace to do it. Give me grace to do it. Grace to do great and massive things in the name of Jesus. I am small today. I will not die small. I carry anointing to do great things. I receive grace to do great things. What nobody in my family, in the family where I'm married, has been able to do successfully is beginning from me in the name of Jesus. David accomplished what Jesse couldn't do. I wanted to pray. Josiah did what Amon, his father, Manasseh, his grandfather, could not do. I receive anointing to do great things in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Number three, the Bible says, and thou shalt still prevail. Somebody say, I shall prevail. Over known and unknown battles, I shall prevail. Over visible and invisible enemies, I shall prevail. Over every force of delay, force of frustration, force of stagnation, I shall prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot hear your voice. Say, I shall prevail. In the name of Jesus. Over known and unknown battles, I shall prevail. Over visible and invisible enemies, I shall prevail. Over every force of failure, every force of delay, disappointment, over force of poverty, over force of disappointment and delay, I shall prevail. Begin to declare that in the name of Jesus. I shall prevail. Over every known and unknown enemy, I shall prevail. That's the final prayer point for tonight. I shall prevail. Over visible and invisible powers working against me, working against God's promises over my life, I shall prevail. Over every battle I'm fighting, oh God, I shall prevail. Over all matters of the spirit, matters of the flesh, I shall prevail. In the name of Jesus, I shall prevail. I shall overcome. I shall win. I shall overcome. In the name of Jesus, I shall win. I shall overcome. I shall win, I shall overcome in the name of Jesus. I shall win, I shall overcome in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Church say, in believing, amen. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, by God's grace, we'll talk about two more things. Tomorrow is a Monday. I wish we shall be praying together. But on Tuesday, by the grace of God, we're going to close this session with an anointing and impartation service. The promise and the prophecy, the covenant that is over your head is mightier than you. It takes the force of divinity to accomplish it. But the arms of flesh shall no man prevail. You can't fulfill it in the energy of the flesh. You need that anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to subdue obstacles, to turn obstacles to bridges, to bring down every force of darkness that wants to stand in your way. So that's what we're going to do on Tuesday. And by the mercy of the Lord, you will not miss out. I believe this program is not meant for the church members alone. Man of God, sir, am I right? There's nothing bad if you talk to one or two of your friends and you bring them in your car, or you sponsor them to come here. How much do you need to come? Oh, I need 1,000 and I just sow that seed into their life. Some will say, I don't have teeth here and I want to be part of it. Come. You know, just volunteer, give them something. You are evangelizing. If they come and they are blessed, they will forever be grateful to God and to you and be thankful to you. Did you get what I just said? When Jesus was going to pray in Gethsemane, he didn't go alone. He went with minimum of 3 people. So when you are coming, please talk to 1 to 3 people. Let them be part of the next 2 days. God promised to visit us more powerfully. And in Jesus' name, you will not be left out. Put your hands together and celebrate Jesus.